Okay, today's Avodah Lamed Bet, and let's just go through the flow of the sugya one more time, where we left off from. So if you remember, Rebbe Zira says, "Hada amra ed zolem the beitin elamatzmo." So if you remember, we saw here he was medayik from the sefer. If you remember that when it says nimtza chad min rishonim batla kol ha'edut, that according to him only made sense if you say when ed zolem and ed when it comes to ed zolemim when they found it false, they are considered Pasul Eidos all the way back from when they've testified, not from the point the Beitin established that they were false witnesses. Nafka Minhag is the Eidot that happened in between. So that was his position. And the way he was mashma that is because we said that if it's Nimtza Achad Min Rishonim Zomemim Batla Kol HaEidot, well, why should we Batla Kol HaEidot? Why should, in other words, if it's Mikano Lahaba, meaning from the time they found false, then at the second set of witnesses, if you remember, they were still considered kosher witnesses at the time. So why can't they be found to be Edim Zomim? And we said here the answer, if you remember, Patala Bahat Praya, where they're all worn together. We said it was the way we explained it was with Toch Kedei Dibur, that they would be, if you like, considered therefore one unit in that sense. Now it's not really fully one unit, the way I explained it, which is you saw there were sort of subtleties in there in that, but the Chazon Cheskel, if you point out, is it's enough to make it, if you like, that the psul affects other things that happened at that time. You'll see why I'm saying that in that way, even though it might sound exactly like the same thing, that it's but no, once it's a bit fallen apart, the whole thing falls apart. Then we said, if you remember, Amr Biyosim about the Ubishtatriot, and that was when we said in some Nimtzoach Achronim Zomimim, that they could be, if you like, Chayavim. And when we said that's when they considered two separate sets of witnesses, but if there was one big Eidot, all those we just explained, then Batla Miktzah Mata Kula. So the Gemara says, if you remember, Mao Batla Miktzah Mata Kula, we're basically doing Chazar and Hamud Bet, and it says, and the example we gave was if there were, I didn't look this up, Rebbe Yisrael, I just remembered that there were Meidim that they that so the person they were Meid on the 10th that he stole on the 1st, and he was Sheganav Shor Chabenisan, and he slaughtered on the 10th. And then, let's say, days later, on Chamishanasar, they were found to be Zomamim. Then he says, Kol Eidot, all the Eidot in between, Lamafreya, we say, becomes Pasul. Because, as we said, Lamafreya, the Eidot Zomamim, goes all the way back to the time of the testimony. That point onwards, the impacts the capacity to testify. And then we said, Amar Rabba Bar Mamal, Tiftar Me'idim Alav Bekerech Achad, V'lech Ma'amin HaKlum. Once again, the simple understanding was that they were doing this all Toch Kedei Dibur. The testimonies of Toch Kedei Dibur, one from the next, and therefore it makes it like Kedibur Echad, and that's why it all falls apart. Okay. So in other words, you don't have to come back onto the shita that it's Lamafreya, you can still say Mekan Laba, but because that particular Eidot of the founder of Zomim and there was Toch Kedei Dibur to other Eidot, they're all tied together. Now that's the way we explain it called Maraful, and we're going to continue that way because it gets quite confusing when you try to explain other opinions. Just to wrap your head around, I find this still quite difficult. I have a sneaking suspicion when we get to Makos, we'll probably explain it like the Korban Eidot, which I'm not sure is, I think, slightly different, but I'm not sure. I'll leave you in suspense there. Then it says, Vatanika. Hen hayu rishonim, hen hayu achronim, huzmu brishona in bekachlu. Bishniya hare elu edot echad, shlishit hare elu shtey. So you have to understand what this means. If you have a look at the Maharfal, this is as follows. Hachigirisem b'sefta b'perik cheska batim. So we're talking about cheska batim. If you remember, in order to have a chazak on property, so if you recall, if someone is witnessed as being occupying a particular land for a number of years, then even if he claims he had bought it, even if he doesn't present any proof of purchase and ishtar, he is trusted to be the owner of that property. Meaning we don't have the expectation that the person should keep the ishtar, the contract of sale, forever and ever and more. So here we're talking about where there are different sets of witnesses that testify to the fact that this person who's now on the land had been on that land for 3 years. Year one, year two, year three. So that's cheskat habatim. So let's continue the marfulda. Nimtza kat rishon zo memet. If the first set of witnesses that said he was on land year one, he has 2 years because he can rely on the witness of year two and the witness of year three to testify that to clock in those 2 years if you like. He just has to have be there in another year if you like. Shnaim, so shnia, If the second set of witnesses, the one that testified it was on the second year, were found to be false, then all he has is what? The third year, so 1 year of confirmed occupancy. Shlishit, if I were the third set of witnesses are found to be false, then we have no witnesses. He was just there. Now, hayu, because again, from like there's no proof he was on that land just now. So are you Henarishonim? What if the one set of witnesses testified to you one and you three? So the Marana says, Nimtzav Zomen, if they're found to be false witnesses regarding you number one, Klum. Everything's possible. Shnia, Hareba, if however the second set of witnesses that said regarding ye two that he occupied it, then he has year number three. He's got 1 year. Shlishit. If they were found to be false witnesses for year number three, meaning this is, remember, there was the same set of witnesses for year number one and year number three. Hare biados shtei shanim, he has 2 years. What are those 2 years? Well, presumably one and two. The sefer that sefer zot mashma nami ki Rebbe Zira. This is like the Rebbe Zira. Why? De'il mashma mikanu lehaba, if it was really mikanu lehaba, meaning from when it's found to be false. Lama amrinan, why do we say, Nimtza, when they're found to be false witnesses regarding year number one, ain bedoklum, he doesn't have anything because we effectively invalidated year number one and year number three as a result. Why? That's not fair. In other words, if you say is only that it invalidates a capacity to be edim from the time that they didn't find them guilty. Well, at the time they testified about year two and year three, or importantly, year three, this set of witnesses was not found to be false yet regarding their testimony of year number one. So why ain bira klum? It must be therefore ilav mishum she'idu al kol shloshanim mekarech. Forget the ilav, just get the ilav is the continuation. So therefore, it must be that we're saying lamafreya, right? So again, just to explain it outside. We said that if there's one set of witnesses that testify to be year one and year three, and another set of witnesses that testify to year two, and the witnesses regarding year one were found to be false regarding specifically year one, in that situation, we say, oh, that it doesn't even have year one, it doesn't have year three, it's all out the window. Now, that only makes sense if we say that because they're found to be false, they're found the mafreya to be false all the way from that point on for all future edut, including year number three. But if you say it's mikano lehaba, if you say that, oh, it's only from the time Beit HaMikdash be walled with witnesses that they're given this badge of you are now pasul la'edut, well, then why should year number three that they testified about be rejected? Because that happened prior to that, if you like, stamp your pasul la'ed, your pasul la'ed. So at least they should still get year number two under three, meaning the person who's living there, year number two and year number three under their belt. Unless, of course, ilam mishum al kol shloshah bekerach. Unless, of course, as the Gemara continues, as Amar Rabba Bar Mama tifto meini malah bekerach chad v'leish ma'amina klum. Okay. Fine. 1 second. Vehi, as it says, sorry. Yeah, that's what we read. But so it says vehi dami im meidim malah bekerach chad v'leish ma'amina klum, as we just said. So I'll keep on reading the Marfulda because there's a lot to work through here. He says, if you want to say now we're talking about Pekerech Echad. Now, Kerech Echad means the way we explained in Marfulda, that was that each of the Eidos were Tokke de Dibur, right? And therefore, they can combine into one. So he says, okay, you want to now explain that whole Breita, the Tosefta there. By saying it was, oh, actually, sorry, it's yeah, Tosefta there, that it was all Bekerech Echad. And that's why when the Eid was found to be Pasul regarding the Eidim that testified about one and three, were found to be Pasul regarding year one, ended up being also invalidating year three, because it's always effectively the three Eidim that they provided were all at the same time. The Eidim for one and three and the Eidim for two came at the same time. But then if that's the case, Lama nema, it says, ve'i kasha lama nema b'shnia harei b'yadu echad. Then why is it then that same writer said, if only year number two Aiden were found to be false, then he still has year number one, sorry, year number three under his belt. Why? If they're Bekerach Echad, then as soon as any of them are found to be false, the whole Niparka Chavila, the whole thing seems to fall apart. So he says, like, why don't you just, say they're all mixed together, and there shall be pasul. Now, this is a critical point, because this is what I was trying to say to you in the beginning. I wasn't 100% clear about, a bit vague because of this point. And so, Chazon Cheskel brings this as a sort of a bit of a discussion in the, and it goes into great length. I didn't get a chance to go all through it, but I saw the two different studies. In other words, when do we say that that the kerech chad batal mitzatam batal kula? It's not really like it's mamash one single, like two of them, one testimony, full stop. Batal mitzah batal kula. Rather, mishum de kaimelan hashta commanda mikanu lahaban nifsal. In other words, even when it's kerech echad, the advantage is, and I think this is the way, again, the Chazon Cheskel explains it, is it enables us, even if you say mikanu lahaba, to make the psul apply going backwards. Not going backwards on mafreya, but at that point, to invalidate other things at that point when it happened. But still, mishum de kaimelan hashta commanda mikanu, but if you say mikanu lahaba, which we're trying to explain it like, then here, that's beautiful. In other words, what it seems to be is that if you say Bekerach Echad, and that gives you advantage of binding them together, even when they're bound together, it can only pasul going forwards. So a bit different to what I explained before. In other words, as a result of year number two becoming pasul, because the Aiden found there, it would puzzle going forward the Aiden that testified at year number three, but the Aiden regarding year number one would still be intact. Not like a classic unified Aiden batal mitzvah batal kula. Okay, it's important to understand that. Otherwise, you can't understand this also good. So that's the way he explains. That's the way he explains it. That it's not mamash kerech echad makes it like one complete eidut batal mitzvah mekula. I think it's Rabbeinu Peretz brings it, and that's the way Chazon goes arichot on this point. But rather, it's more when you say bekerech echad, that even if you say mikano lehaba, that once the eidim are found to be false in Beit Din, from that point onwards, they are pasul all future eiduyot. Still, bekerech echad means obviously we invalidate the eidus that they testified about when they're false witnesses, but other eidut that were in that kerach, that in that single hatraya as well, that's also able to be pasuled, but even according to Shilam and that would be going forward, meaning within that sort of in that from that point onwards. Okay, it's really kind of an important point to understand. Okay, fine. Then it adds as follows. So that means this is, we're talking about multiple different testimonies. Now, what's this talking about? Again, difficult for me to understand here, but the Mara Filta says, actually says, at this point, he rejects Rabbi Bar Bar Mamal's explanation of Rabbi Yossi, that it had to be Kerech Echad. It can't be Kerech Echad talking about three Eduot in quick succession. It must be Eduot Echad Varbe Kutot. One eidut and many kitot. Why? Because I'm interested by perakama the makot minan afilu meya hen meya tamulom eidin. In other words, it seems to be contextually regarding what Rabbi Yossi is talking about in that brayta, that it can't possibly be talking about kolom b'toch dibur. Okay, so therefore, again, it seems to at this point seems to be the conclusion. We go back to Rabbi Zira that it seems to be at our conclusion of the sugya that. When the Edom are found to be Zomim, they actually mafreya nifsal and wind back the clock from that time and any future Eduot, sorry, any Eduot from that point onwards, when they actually testified, all of those would be chucked out as well. They're puzzle eders. Okay? Beseder. Again, the Mara Filta goes into more Rechav on this point, but I think that's Mahalacha Sugya that I think we can digest. Okay, let's now learn Amud Bet. This is an Ahalacha Dalet. Ganava pishnai v'tavach v'machara piyadechad. Let's say he was witnessed by two people stealing, and only one witness was able saw him that he either slaughtered or sold it, or al piatzmo, or he admits to it, and we say modeh beknas patur. So to explain, paying any time you pay more multiples of what you're actually chayv to pay, it's clearly what's called a fine. It's not compensation anymore, and we have a principle: if someone runs to Beit Din and admits to the fine, without any eating, without anything, knowing about, then he is, if you like, he's patur from that knas. So here we've got two situations where even though he physically stole and slaughtered this animal, either we don't have witnesses or he's mordet to it, and therefore he doesn't have to pay the arba'a v'chamisha component. Now, ganav b'shabbat, what if he stole and slaughtered on Shabbat? Well, that got a situation of kimlein b'dimarabimine. You've got a chiyuv of, if you remember, mita, and therefore exempt from monetary payment. Ganav v'tavach l'avodah zarah, simply if you slaughter for avodah zarah purpose, the same problem. Ganav mishel aviv u'met aviv. What if he stole his father and the father died and then he slaughtered it? Well, it's his own animal that he slaughtered. V'dmachah. Ganav v'ikdish v'achar kach tavach. What if he stole and then was makdish it? So he stole an animal, was makdish the animal. We'll have to explain this when we get to the Gemara. V'achakata, and then slaughtered it. And then sold it. Then meshalem tashlumi kefel. He pays double. Ve'enu meshalem tashlumi arba v'chamisha. We'll have to explain why that is. Okay? Fine. And the Gemara says, important by the way, because just for the, it says, ganav ikdish ki katavach the hekdish katavach v'lo shel ba'alim. Meaning when he what he ends up when he ends up slaughtering, the reason why it's part of from slaughter, we will still have to explain this, it doesn't longer belong to the original owners, and therefore he doesn't pay arba b'chamisha. Rabbi Shimon Omer, he says, kodshim drew chai b'achriyotan, even about korba, when one is responsible to bring the replacement if anything happens to it, therefore it's still considered like mamon ba'alim, the mad property of the owner, the meshalem tashlumi arba b'chamisha. But if he's not chay b'achriyoton, it's considered property hektesh in his patur. Again, we'll have to explain this point. Gemara now. So let's open up the Gemara. Ganav tavach b'shabbos. The first point the Gemara tries to address is the case of being tavach b'shabbos. So the Gemara says, one second. Now this is the sugu we've seen previously. Lo ken amar Rabbi Abahu b'shem Rabbi Yochanan meizi bechel v'shogeg gokor matrim bavolokin umevikish korban. That's what we saw yesterday, where Rabbi Avahu brings in Rabbi Yochanan, and we have situations where someone can be chayiv multiple punishments. For example, he was warned against eating chalev, and which is a forbidden fat, punishable by karet, but he didn't realize or he didn't know that if he did a b'shog, he'd be chayiv him a korban. In that situation, he's of the opinion you get malchus and korban. And the Gemara doesn't answer the question here. Mara Fulda says, Lo Chash, the first is not interested in answering because we basically answered this question on the previous page. Meaning it's only punishments to hand over to Beit Din do we say you can't get more than one, whereas a korban is something that's related to Shemaim, so therefore he can get Malkus and he can bring a korban. Okay, now the Gemara asks, Man Tanita, who is the author of our Mishnah regarding which point? The point of Machar, if say Ganav Vehikdish, Vachar Kach Tavach Umachar, then he pays double and doesn't pay four and five. And the Gemara says it must be Shittat Rebbe Shimon. Why is it Shita Rabbi Shimon? Let's have a look at the Mara folder. He says, Rabbi Shimon, the sphere lay shechai brachrotan bereshut the Mara Kaima. When kodshim, that one is responsible for replacing, is still considered the property of the owner, not considered probably Hekdesh. Okay, so what? Why is this a proof that our mission is like Rabbi Shimon? Because the ilu lerabbanan ifidu the chachamim, according to chachamim. That's something that's been made hektish, like a dedicated animal for a korban, even if a chayiv b'achriyotan is considered already the property of Shemayim, then as soon as you're makdish, what have you done? You've transferred it from someone's property to the property of hektish. So manli, what difference does it make? Machul Shemayim or machul hedyot? What difference does it make if I'm selling it to another human being or I'm makdish it to the Shemayim, giving it over to the Beis HaMikdash? Those are two acts of transferring of ownership. So therefore, if it's mekdesh no longer yours anymore, then that will be the same thing as selling. It's like you're selling it. According to Rabbi Shimon, since when you're makdish an animal, that you'll be again chayev v'achriyutan, then there's no mechira anymore. It's not considered, if you like, sold because it's still in your property and when you're being makdisha. So again, I explain it outside. The Gemara's understanding at this stage is that when one is chayif a mechira, it is from transferring from one rishut to another rishut. That's when you're chayif a four and five. So when the Gemara says, oh, if he takes an animal as makdisha and then sells or slaughters it, he's not chayif a arba chamisha, it must be Rabbi Shimon, who understands that being makdish animal, that you're chay b'achriyotan, that I have to bring a replacement if it's lost, it's still considered my possession, and therefore there was no transfer. And because there was no transfer, that is why, if you like, he's not chayv arba chamisha for the act of being makdishet. But that's going to lead to another question. The Maror Fulda continues. But one second, you're saying when you're makdishet just now that it's not considered transfer the rishut to hekdesh, nachon? So then why does the Mishnah said if he goes ahead and then shechtet, is he pasul patuv arba chamisha? If it's still considered your property, why is it like a ganav who steals something and shechts it? Of course he's chayav four and five times. Doesn't make sense. So therefore, so he says, v'hadl mechayav atzvicha kevin de b'shut akai. Perish Rashi zal, da'afal dav b'shut ganav kaimi, even though that's still considered his brishut, kevan the im avdu chay barktu in the hekdesh, chala leo miu hekdesh, la fukim brishut marakama velo lo demar de ketavach. In other words, because it's now, this is the way actually the Askel explained in the footnote, but it says, listen, because it's now got a shem korban, the chay bachriyut, so you've got effectively the way that he explains in the footnote, you've got what's called a shinoi shem, and you do a tficha, if you like, of a, if you've got a tficha, or it does a tficha, so you slaughter it, there's a meiser, it's effectively already like Bereshutah in the Reshut of Hekdesh, and Mi'u Shem Hekdesh la'fugim erakamah v'lod demarak ketavach. There's no longer, if you like, in the property of the of Hekdesh, not in the original owner's property that you're now shechting it. Okay, so just to explain, when the ganav steals something belonging to the person, okay, and he shechts it, it will still belong to that person. He shechts it, has to pay four and five. It's considered brishut tekama. That's when he has to pay four and five. If he shechts it, if he sells it, it's because he took it from all considered the original owners and he hands it over. We just said if he's makdish it and it's something chay b'achriyut, well, it still hasn't really left his possession in that respect, and therefore you're not chay. However, still, because it already now has a Shem Hekdesh, such that if it's Shechti, you have to replace it with a different one, once he Shechts it now, it's considered as if it's not long in the Shut of original Mara, original owner. Okay? And that's why it's not considered a Tavach Machar in that situation to be Chayv Arba Vachamisha. Yafer. Okay? It's a subtle point to pick up on here. And it says, V'ha da'amar of Shimon, the Sefer Kochim Chay Barachon and Chay Leshalem Dalad Bachamisha. And what about the Sefer when Rabbi Shimon says that Kochim Shechay Bachra and you are Chayev 4 and 5? The Bavli says talking about a completely different thing altogether. It's not talking about whether Ganav was Maktishet. It's talking about whether Ganav stole an animal that belonged to someone that was already, if you like, what's it called? It was already his Kochim Kalim that is, he was Chay Barachotam, like his Neder. Yes, his neder. And since he's chay b'achriyotam, therefore, that's when it's considered his mammon, and if you've shecht it or you sell it, you've taken something belonging to somebody else, and then you are chayv. So it's, in other words, seifa is a different situation when it's Reb Shimon Omer. Okay, the Bible has a different malach asugya here, like it doesn't stop here. We are sort of satisfied with saying that the ratio and like the stam before Reb Shimon is also Reb Shimon. Okay. Now, just we'll just reintroduce the next point, and we'll really continue this for next year. I think we should do that. Rabbi Yosta bar Matun sha'al hapodeh kal kalam yad gizba mau she titavel la'maiser. So this takes us all the way back to the world of Trumas Amasos. If you remember, produce that hasn't yet reached Gemar Malacha, you can snack from it. Okay, so we said what's Gemar Malacha? For example, you harvest wheat until its wheat's banged out, and it's called Mirach Hakri, until the whole pile's moved over. Yafer. Now, however, there are certain things that are koveya. Kove lamaisa mean from that point on, you have to, even if it hasn't reached Gemar Malacha. One of these is mechira, a purchase, mekach u'memcha. So the question, just to preview for next time, it says, what is a din if you poda miyad, you take a basket, you poda from the gizbar, does it become tabul lamaisa? Is that considered the act of pedir? Is that like a mechira that's not even a koveya? And obviously, we're going to discuss this in more detail when we get in tomorrow. All right. Seder, Kol Tov, have a good day.
Thank you very much.
Take care.